doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. Let's talk gardening. Let's talk organic gardening and landscaping and pest control. This hour is brought to you by DirtDoctor.com, which is our website, and there's a lot of information there. One of the specific things I wanted to talk about this morning, and I think I'm not sure we've ever done a newsletter on this, but if we have, it's been a while, and I need to do an update on it anyway because I was looking at what is in the library for – we used to do a feature called Poison of the Week, and we would, you know, cover one of the toxic things that other people are recommending out there, like 2,4-D or Roundup or 7 or something like that, and cover why it's not a good idea in the least, and give a bunch of links for over to data and research backing up all that. We stopped doing that because we covered so many of them, and it became just a feature in the library, and it's under Poison of the Week Archives. And we need to update that and probably do a newsletter about it. But anyway, you can go there now. And there's a lot of new listeners that we have. We're delighted about that. We're getting into more and more markets across the country. And even more people are figuring out that I'm not on that other radio station anymore. I'm on a different one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So new people coming in all the time. And some of them don't realize that we are strongly opposed to some of the most commonly recommended and sold products out there. And we want to have people get the information about why they should get away from those things. For example, the Poison of the Week archives, we've got PCBs is leading it. I'm not sure why we have that first, because everything else seems to be somewhat in alphabetical order. That's one thing we need to update, is get this organized a little bit better. Arsenic, dryer sheets, that's one of the things that is very commonly used. Dangers of Monsanto in general is listed. Electromagnetic radiation, metaldehyde, that's the slug baits. It's an incredibly toxic material, and there's better ways to go anyway, sluggo and various natural organic things that we talk about. We talk about synthetic fertilizers, nitrates, and various things. We talk in here about copper sulfate, which is one of the products that some of the organic people still recommend, and we don't recommend it, and we cover links to data that'll tell you basically why we don't recommend that. Mercury, obviously. Soy, Roundup is a huge no-no. Rotenone, we have misspelled, which is not good, is an organic pesticide that we don't recommend, and why we don't is on there. Antibacterial soaps, microwave ovens, BHA, BHT, and ethoxyquin, which are preservatives that are in a lot of the dog foods and cat foods, not in the one that we recommend, the Victor product. And it's one of the main reasons we love their product so much. Clorox and bleach are in the toxic category, and we have information for you there. Mothballs, naphthalene, DEET, which is recommended every time anybody opens their mouth in the press about mosquito control, we do not recommend. And so there's a lot of information there for you about why we don't. Fluoride, we've talked about a lot. High fructose corn syrup, we don't, and why. And again, all of these have a lot of links to papers and research about why they're bad things. Imidacloprid, which is merit, we don't recommend. Of course, diazinon, Durzban, atrazine, pyrethroids, acephate, which is the old product, orthene, I believe, and Roundup again. We'll try to get that. It's not in very organized fashion right now. It is on our website. We'll try to get it in alphabetical order for you, fill in some holes. One of the huge gaps I see is that it doesn't specifically list 2,4-D on there, which is a real commonly recommended, unfortunately, commonly recommended broadleaf herbicide that is directly related to cancer. And Roundup is, too. If you're new to the show, you may not have heard that before, but all of the backup about why those things are as toxic as they are is in this document that's on DirtDoctor.com under Poison of the Week Archives. And we'll turn that into a little bit different kind of a document for you and put it out in a newsletter so everybody has it, especially all the newer listeners. To the phones, Elaine in Grayford next up. Hello, Elaine.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Doing very well. Thank you,
Welcome back.
You bet.
I have a question. We've got, they look like staghorn beetles.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some on some Arizona ash, which I know is not one of your favorite trees, but we've also seen them on some very well-established cedar elms.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to get rid of those? I don't even want to touch them because they look so...
Well, they
nasty.
Can hurt you. And rather than staghorn, are you talking about longhorn beetles?
Well, you know, I'm not sure they are. Oh,
are they black and white and have real long antennae?
I don't even see antennas. I see like giant pinchers, one on the top of the head and then one below. So it's not side to side. It's top to bottom.
Hmm.
They are. They've got to be about 2 inches long. And it's like a cream-colored wing with black spots on them.
Okay.
And they're eating the bark. I mean, you can see that it's shredded. It almost looks like, how would you describe it? Very, very perforated, I guess, when it's done. And then the wasps and butterflies are going in and eating at the sap that they've created from removing that bark.
Okay.
And they're destroying. There's got to be at least a half a dozen in the couple of trees that I've been able to see them in.
Can you take some pictures of those and send them to me? That almost sounds like a rhinoceros beetle that's doing something that's kind of out of the ordinary. But
and that very well may be. And I did take some pictures because I'm going, these things are nasty looking. I don't want to touch them because, like I said, those pinchers look like they could really do some damage.
Okay. Get if you've got a phone or anything, take some photos and send them to me. Send them to info@dirtdoctor.com. You can kill them with spinosad.
Okay.
Spinosad would be the most effective thing, something like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Killer or one of those spinosad products.
Okay.
But send me some pictures. I'd like to see exactly what that is. Stress in the tree would be the case with the ash, and the other, I don't know if that'd be the case or not. The sick tree treatment would be called for in either case, you know, exposing the flare and putting out after aerating all the amendments that we recommend for bed preparation.
Okay, I know we've done that on the Arizona since we've been listening to you. We have really exposed the root flare and done a lot of amending for the trees just to help them be a little bit happier. The established ashes we have not, but they are not ashes, the cedar elms. Those, they've got the roots where they're coming out and you can step on that flare.
Okay, good. Well, do the rest of the sick tree treatment. Send me some pictures of those. It probably is the staghorn. I've never seen them be that destructive. I've never seen that many in one place.
And so, they were just, we've never seen them. We've been here for 12 years. We've never seen them. And all of a sudden they showed up about a month ago after that first bout of heavy, heavy rain that we had in May.
Mm-hmm.
So don't know if maybe that had something to do with that. Totally stressed the trees out and just help them find a place to go.
Well, one of the things we did, the last news there, you may have noticed, we talked about the incredibly heavy rain and that we're going to see some different insect and disease problems, and I think you're experiencing one of them. So send it to us. We'll share it with everybody else and tell people what to do. But for right now, spinosad and the rest of the sick tree treatment on those trees if you haven't done it already.
Sounds great.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I'll get the pictures to you, too.
Okay, thanks for the info. That's great to hear. Well, it's great to hear so we can head it off of the past and let other people know about it. Candace in Weatherford is next up. Hey, Candace.
Good morning, Dr. Garrett. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better.
You know, never felt bad. That's the weirdest thing about the whole event. I've felt fine all through this affair.
Yeah, that's the scary part, you know,
yep.
The silent things. But anyway... Okay, I could be hallucinating or something, but I'm thinking that I always heard the cicadas mid-June, I haven't heard one. Did they all ground?
I'm hearing some, but they're a little later than normal this year. And the reason for that, Candace, is we've had so much rain and cooler spring. We've almost had a second spring.
Right.
And they like it really hot, which we're into now. And so you'll hear them rev up right away.
Well, I like them. You know, some people say,
Yeah, you're going to get them. Don't worry.
Okay. I just wonder if they're all drowned or what, because, I mean, they live underground.
No, they're there.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Garrett.
Appreciate the call. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back right after this.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I now feed my dogs. and the pet food that you should let your pets try. They will enjoy it, just like mine do. Victor not only has grain-free choices, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. These great products are naturally preserved with no toxic chemicals, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor dog food and cat food at your favorite pet store or feed store. And for more information about dog and cat food recommended by me, the Dirt Doctor, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. What was throwing me a little bit, still is, about the recent call about the staghorn beetles. These beetles are great big mandibles and look ferocious as they can be. I've never known them to hurt plants very much. They tend to attack rotting wood and old logs, dead wood and so forth. So if the caller's still listening, do send the photographs for sure. But we need to look into it a little bit closer to see if there's some other insect related that's doing the damage. If these are doing the damage, that's kind of new, and it may be. Like I said, we're having some unusual things pop up from all this heavy, heavy, heavy rain that we've had, things we've never seen before, and this may be one of them. The male staghorn beetles are the ones that have those great, big, ferocious-looking jaws, and they really can't even hurt you. They can't close them with any force. But the females that have smaller jaws, they can. So you need to be careful for the girls. The guys can't hurt you very much. Next up is Carol in Flint, Texas. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I got up just a minute. Troubled my voice right off the bat. I've got a nectarine tree that is, I mean, it's pretty big now. It's probably 12, 14 feet tall. Uh-huh. And it's a maybe 4-inch diameter trunk. But it finally got through the spring without losing its, frozen flowers so that it didn't have anything. So this year I thought we were going to have nectarines. And they got maybe about 3/4 inch big, and I started seeing little spots come on them, black spots.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was on all the fruit. And as they got bigger, they split from the rain. I was sure that was what was causing that. But then a squash-looking bug, I don't know what they are, and that's what my question was. It was like they were mating, but there was 2 or 3 of them on every piece of fruit on the tree. And they were doing all over the thing. And I chased them off, and they'd fly around and fly back again. And so we didn't get anything from that tree. I mean, what few were left, the birds got. And I had a woodpecker just pecking on them, chewing them up.
Well, but unfortunately, anyway, the nectarine's tough to grow. You know, it's a peach without the fuzz is basically what it is.
Yeah.
And they are among the harder to grow fruit trees. And when we have the weather that we've had, this rain event, it caused fruit trees of all kinds here and there, not across the board, but a lot of the fruit trees just to abort their fruit. And it also, because of the cloudiness and the moisture level and everything, the fungal diseases popped up. So all I can suggest to you, especially when you're trying to grow something that's more difficult to grow like nectarine, you need to follow the program that we have on the website that's called the Organic Fruit and Pecan Tree Program, and spraying it real carefully at the times I recommend, not with toxic chemicals, but with the sprays that we recommend that are mostly stimulating biological activity, will give you the good chance. I think this year it was just the rain that gave you almost no chance at all.
Yeah, well, it was really disappointing because it was covered with flowers and it had a lot of fruit, and I thought, oh, finally, after 5 years, we're going to get something from it, but it didn't work out. Well, thank you. The sprays are in your
Yeah, it's on the website on dirtdoctor.com under guides. The word guides is all those words on the homepage are buttons, and the one that says guides under there, when you punch on it, you'll see the basic organic program, the organic fruit and pecan tree program, the rose program, the formulas for making garret juice, the procedure for doing the sick tree treatment, all the basic stuff, in other words, is
okay.
Right there. And
okay.
For you, the organic fruit and pecan tree program is what you
want.
Yeah,
I wondered what you would spray it with. I never thought about looking there for it. But I had another question about orchids, as long as you were talking about orchids. I got a couple of them about a month ago at Sam's, and they're supposed to get 3 ice cubes once a week, dips their water. And they were doing fine up until this last week, and all of a sudden the flowers on one of them just wilted and fell off, and now the other ones are going.
Well, the flowers have a finite life. They just finally do fail like that. I think the ice cube thing, that gives them an easy way to recommend watering. What I'd have seen better results from, my wife Judy does it. She actually takes the orchids and soaks them in water so that the bark, which is what those coming from all the big box stores and everything are planted in, the bark will absorb the moisture really well and stay moist for a longer period of time. If you just put ice cubes in there, as they melt, they'll run down in one spot and not in another. So it's kind of like drip irrigation. One of the reasons I'm not a huge fan of it for landscaping is that you get dry spots and wet spots. So next time, your orchids will last longer if you soak them in water so that 100% of the root zone and whatever they're growing in gets moist, and then fertilized with a little garret juice once a month or something like that. They're still going to fade at some point, but they'll last longer if you do that.
Yeah. Well, would it hurt to do that? Trying to figure out what exactly I mean. Should I just let the water run right through them and let it?
No. Put them in a sink or in a big pan or a bucket, so they're actually submerged in water, so you know that they're getting totally saturated. Pull them out, let them drain and drip, and put them back in the container where they go.
Okay, and they will. I didn't know about fertilizer either. I'm glad to know.
Garret juice is what you want to use.
And one other thing, I got a mulberry tree, and I was interested when you were talking about it a minute ago. It has mulberries on it every year, and we never get any of them. They don't get any bigger than a half an inch, and the birds eat them green.
Garret juice, again, will help you. The organic fertilizers, especially garret juice, will really help the buds and the fruit production. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on dirtdoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Carol, did you have one final question?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to know if you knew what that bug was that was on the nectarine tree. It looked like a squash bug, but it flew, and it looked like they were mating on the tree.
Yeah, it was probably big-footed bug or leaf-footed bug. If you look it up on DirtDoctor.com or in my Texas bug book, you'll see them there. They're kind of elusive. They seem to be this year, again, maybe because of the weather around more than we'd like, but it's called the leaf-footed bug. Yeah, they do some damage, but I think your biggest problem that you have is disease related to the weather. But look up leaf-footed bug, and you'll see what we recommend there.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr.
I appreciate the call. It's one of those bugs that's kind of hard to spray for and kill because they kind of move around fast, and there's just a few here and there. I suppose the orange oil, 2 ounces per gallon of water, the spinosad products and all will help you some. But to be honest, Bob Webster and I have talked about this quite a few times. If you see those around, one of the best tools, because of how they behave, their behavior is such that the best control is a vacuum cleaner, one of those hand vacs. I've got one called the Shark. And I use it for ants and leaf-footed bugs and stink bugs and things like that where, you know, you spray and you're going to probably, even with an organic killing spray, you're going to be hurting beneficials more than the targeted pest. So vacuuming them up kills them and takes care of them and you're done with it. So if you haven't tried that, give it a shot. It sounds like a silly idea, but it actually works very well. Trish in Lone Grove next up. Hi, Trish.
Hey, Howard. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I have a couple of abelia shrubs that I purchased at a nursery that was closing out, and I'm not going to be able to plant those for a while, and they're in 3-gallon pots in pretty good size. I'm wondering how's the best way to get them through the next month or two?
Oh, just keep them in conditions that would be similar to where you're going to be planting them. So, in other words, when you do plant them in the new spot, it's not a whole lot more or a whole lot less sunlight than they've been used to in the pots. You follow me?
Right.
So that's number one. Number two is just water them on a regular basis, on a reasonable basis, so they don't dry out. Abelia is a pretty tough plant. The longer you leave them in the containers, the more root-bound they will become. It's one of the reasons why I like, and you might even consider this, a product line called Smart Pots. It's a fabric pot.
Right.
You could transplant them into them, maybe a little larger or even the same size, and when the roots hit the fabric wall of the Smart Pot, they don't tend to circle and girdle, set up girdling roots as badly. They tend to splatter and are healthier, so that during the time they're in the pots, they'll be in better shape and then be better when you're ready to plant them in the ground. When do you think you'll be able to plant them?
I'm not sure. Just a quick safety tape tip for the listeners. I did the stupid thing of getting in between two dogs. I'm going to have surgery on my arm.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I know better than that, and that happened so fast. I got in the middle of them and broke one of my fingers. So,
oh wow!
Caution to say, but it's probably going to be at least 6 weeks.
Okay. Well, just keep them in a reasonable condition. The most important thing is, if you're going to end up planting them where they get full sun, keep them in full sun while they're in pots.
Okay.
If it's going to be morning sun, afternoon shade, same thing, so that when you do finally move them and put them in the final place, they aren't shocked by having especially more sun than they've been used to, a sunburn.
Okay.
And the reverse is also true.
Yeah, I've got them on the porch, and they get the afternoon sun, which is pretty brutal, so that'll help. I can move them out. And how often to feed them?
Oh, you don't need to fertilize them more than every month or so. So if you haven't lately, go ahead and do it now. And if they have to stay in for as long as a month, you might do it once more.
Okay. Just a quick update. I called you a little bit about, I think 2 weeks ago, about the red maple that had flooded out.
Uh-huh.
The rebar. Well, I didn't have that, but I had a flag hanger that had the U-shaped bottom on it, the two prongs.
Uh-huh.
That worked. What was strange is I came home and all its leaves had turned like fall color, and I thought for sure it was dead. They all came off, and now it's budding back out. So kind of weird.
Well, that's fairly common. If the root system hasn't been damaged too bad, you can have some cosmetic burn on the foliage of a Japanese maple and other plants as well. And if the root system's not damaged too badly, the leaves will re-emerge. So it sounds like it's going to work out.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks
for your help.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Hazlitt and talk to Gary. Nick, say Gary.
Hello, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question's about using the cornmeal juice as a fungicide. Now, I know the recipe that I saw called for 1 cup of whole ground cornmeal in 5-gallon pail.
Right.
Let it soak.
Right.
I put in, just so you know, I had put in 2 cups. Now, I let it soak for 24 hours, and this stuff started fermenting, heavy yeast smell and all that. So my question is, how long am I supposed to let it soak?
Well, my buddy Bob Webster tells people to do 24 hours down there, and I keep forgetting to talk to him about that. It's really not necessary. In fact, you probably, like your experience, and may lead to some issues. I think soaking for an hour is enough, because you're not really trying to change the corn into something else. You're not trying to ferment it, really, like you're seeing. You're just trying to get the liquid part of the cornmeal suspended in water, because what that does is that it stimulates beneficial organism, more than one really, but one of them is called Trichoderma, and Trichoderma is a natural pathogen fighter. it's a fungus that, that kills pathogens, pathogenic fungi. So soaking for 24 hours really is a lot longer than you need to do. An hour or two is more than enough.
Very good. I appreciate it, Howard.
Appreciate the call. Talk to you later. It's Jesse's turn in Dallas. Hey, Jesse.
Good morning, Dr. Garrett. My question is about I got a borer, a tree borer in my red oak tree.
Okay.
And it's just one hole that I found, and it's about a quarter of an inch across, you know, the size.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the best way to treat? Can I do it myself, or do I need to call in a tree doctor to look at it? Because it's just one hole that I found.
Well, if it's just one hole, sometimes that would be an exit hole. It won't be a living creature in that hole, but you can run a wire in and kill it if it is, just to make sure. You can also put some orange oil. This is something we discovered on a commercial landscape project one time. You can actually inject orange oil into the hole and then seal it with putty or mud or something like that, and the fumes of the orange oil, if there is any still living larvae in that tunnel, it'll kill them. What you need to do besides that, though, and more importantly than that, is to step back and say, okay, why is my tree in stress? Because only trees in stress get attacked by borers, if that's what it is.
Yes.
And the
okay.
solution is the sick tree treatment, which means to pull the soil off the base of the tree and dramatically expose the flare, and then after aerating, put out the amendments, compost, rock minerals, and sugar, just like we use for bed preparation.
Okay.
And that's how you get your red oak back in shape. Is the top of the tree still healthy looking?
Well, it looks healthy, both. I've got two of them.
Okay.
And they look real healthy. So, you know, I never noticed anything about the leaves. They're healthy looking. And other than that, there's just that one hole that I found. But, one more thing. Does the red oak? Now, some of them will keep the leaves, and they drop the leaves,
right?
It's cold. But I noticed one, I got two of them. One of them keeps the leaves on till always maybe March and April.
The trees that hold their leaves in the winter, some people like them and some people don't like that.
Uh-huh.
The good news or bad news, I guess, for most people is that there's nothing you can do about it. The trees either do that or they don't. It doesn't have anything to do with the health of the tree. It's just a genetic makeup that one tree does it and another tree doesn't. Treat that one hole just in case there is something still alive in there. Do the sick tree treatment, and I think your red oak will be fine.
And then plug it up, okay?
Yep.
Well, thanks a lot, Doctor.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
And Ralph's turn in Knox City. Hey, Ralph.
How you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
I've been mildewed on some crepe myrtle. How much mandolin is that, and can I just get rid of it with cornmeal juice?
Cornmeal juice does work very well on the powdery mildew on a crepe myrtle. It also is an indication, just like we were talking to Jesse, though, that the plant is in stress to some degree. Now, some crepe myrtles have powdery mildew as an affliction built in. They just are more susceptible to it. But anything you can do to lessen the stress on the plant is going to help. You're going to have less problems from the powdery mildew. So exposing the flare, and I guess the crepe myrtles are among the trees that are the most grossly left too deep in the ground. So
these are in good shape. I think it's the rain. I've never
Well, rain will before. Absolutely be a part of it, but get your cornmeal juice together, spray it. You can mix Garrett juice with it or use Garrett juice actually as the base and put the cornmeal juice in with it, spray it, and it does a beautiful job of controlling powdery mildew.
And I have a question about cilantro, too.
Okay.
I have never grown it. I put it in the ground. It grew like gangbusters, and now it's all falling over, and I was reading where it's got a seeds have to go back in the ground, and then that's what you harvest. Is that?
Well, I thought I was. I thought I heard what the plant was, and I'm not sure. What was the plant?
Cilantro.
Cilantro? Well, yes, it is a cool season plant, Ralph, so it's one that you want to plant in the fall, and it likes a little cool weather. It even likes a little frost. It would not be good right now.
Okay, so but it'll come back in the fall since it's fallen, bloomed and gone to seed and everything. Is that going to come back?
It will, unless the base of the plant died. If the base of the plant is still alive and it makes it through the hot weather, it will come back.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll have to replant another crop in the fall. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless organic aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters.
Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and let's go to Spring Valley and talk to Rochelle. Hello, Rochelle.
Hi. I'm calling about a problem with tomato plants that it may be squirrels or something else, and I was wondering what do you do if it's squirrels and what other things bother the tomato plants, and, you know, what can you do about that?
Well, unfortunately, the critters that like our delicious organic tomatoes are the hardest of the pests to control. It could be squirrels. It also could be rats or mice. It could also be birds. And it can even be possums and raccoons, although they normally, you know, they're so big, they normally tear up the plants. But they could be any of those things, Rochelle. Some of the repellents work fairly well. Some of them don't seem to work at all. Some of the pests can be repelled with the garlic pepper tea spray, which is the formula is on our website under guides, and you might try that if you haven't yet. Some people have to go to the extent of using nets over the plants. I normally don't do that because it's just too much trouble, looks bad, and it's hard to maintain around. And then other people have had some luck with electric fences. There are these simple little electric fences that you can put around plants if it's the raccoons or possums or larger ones, animals that are coming in from the ground. And it might even work with squirrels, I guess. If you put a couple of the wires fairly close to the ground, you can get those things in the hardware stores or in a place, you know, like, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, Harbor Freight, one of this kind of a hardware store, too. They're real simple, and they're inexpensive, really, and it might be worth trying. But the first thing I'd try would be garlic pepper tea spray.
Okay, and so you're saying that would work better than the diatomaceous earth?
Well, DE really wouldn't have much of a repelling factor for animals. In fact, if anything, they might even like the taste of it. So
I don't think
that would work for you, no. Try the formula that's on our website. It's garlic pepper tea. Basically, you take two bulbs of garlic and two hot peppers, and you blend them, get the juice out, strain the solids out, turn those four vegetables into a gallon of spray. Add enough water to make a gallon, and then use a cup or two of that per gallon of water as your spray. That's the garlic pepper tea spray.
Okay. Okay, and the other thing I heard you mentioning to another caller, were you calling that cornmeal juice?
Yeah, cornmeal juice is made by putting a cup of cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal, in a 5-gallon bucket of water. Let it set for about an hour or so, strain the solids out, and spray the plant. But that's not going to help you with birds and squirrels and critters.
I understand that, but my question about this cornmeal juice is, where do you get this cornmeal juice?
You make it from cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal.
Okay, and do you have a place to recommend to get the cornmeal that's non-GMO?
Yeah, non-GMO is an issue. You can go to the grocery store and buy organic cornmeal. It will have the best chance of being non-GMO, but there's nothing that's perfect against it because it's all over the place out there. But to give you the best chance, go to the grocery store and get organic whole ground cornmeal. Second best and the best price is going to be at the feed store or the garden center that sells it in 40 or 50 pound bags. The organic program is the best counter to the GMO problem. I hope that helps you, and it does work very well. Hector and Hurst is next up. Hello, Hector.
Hey, Howard Garrett. I love your show, and strangely enough, me and my wife think that y'all have one of the best voices on the radio. But that being said, I've got a Camellia japonica. It's, I think, Nuccio's Pearl, and I bought it about half a year ago, and it was doing fine. But what startled me is right around the last 2 months, a lot of the leaves have been falling off, and it's not that they're really changing colors or curling up or anything. They're just falling, and it's probably 3 to 5 leaves a day. And
it's probably related to the weather, Hector. The rain has really caused some problems, and I think that the camellias would be in the susceptible category. If you don't have a probe, get you a probe. You can make one out of a golf club, break the head off of an old driver or some other wood, one of the longer clubs, and use it to probe down into the ball of the plant and around the plant. And it may be too late. There may already be some root damage that is irreversible, but you can tell by using that physical probing in the ground whether the soil is staying too wet are too dry. Camellias are susceptible to too much or too little water. They love really, really good bed preparation. And if you're not gone too far already, the next time you plant, really prepare the beds with lots and lots and lots of all the things that we recommend. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I got to get out of here for today. I've enjoyed being with you, everybody, today more than ever. Because I almost wasn't with you. If you didn't hear my story about my blood clot adventure, the first hours where I explained that, and you can hear that on the archives that are put up. We also have an app now where you can listen to our show 24/7, along with Marty Whittakin's show is on there as well. Our website's dirtdoctor.com. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds. I'll see you next week.